Blog Talk Radio.
And I am thankful to be with you to share it. We are coming out of the book of Ruth. This is our last day in Ruth, and we'll be starting in Judges on tomorrow. We will be in Luke, Psalms, and Proverbs also this morning. And we're going to get started because, as always, we all have to go to work. So we're going to start with our word this morning. But first, we will start with prayer. Father God in heaven, we are so very thankful today to be your children, to be sons and daughters of God, to be lifted up and not torn down, to be raised up and not crushed or destroyed. Father God, you have given us a new beginning. You have given us a new day. You have given us a do-over. Lord, I thank you for the do-over this morning. I thank you for the opportunity to be better today than I was yesterday, to be able to give your word and read your word. And I ask you, Lord God, to please increase as I decrease. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your sight, for Lord God, you are my strength and you are my redeemer. Father, I cannot do this without you. Please come in. Let your Holy Spirit reign in me this morning. Lord God, let this word hit someone's heart, someone's spirit, someone's mind. Leave this broadcast different than when they came. Father God, I thank you. I praise you. I give you honor, and I give you hallelujah glory. Thank you, Father. Again, for this do-over. Thank you again for this new day. In Jesus' name, I pray, believing, trusting, and standing on your word. Amen. Hallelujah. Just want to thank God for this Ruth word. This is a word and a half. You know, you can only say thank you. You can never have enough thank yous. As a little girl, I was taught, please and thank go a long way. And I just want to tell my daddy, thank you for this words, these words that we meditate on, these words that we study, these words that touch our hearts, our minds, and our spirit. Just thanking God this morning for the word that he gave me comes from Psalms again. It's from Psalms 52 again, and it's simply, I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. We are grateful. We must be grateful that God has mercy on us. We are sinners saved by grace, and I just thank God this morning for his mercy. that he loves me in spite of myself, in spite of what I may do or say. He still loves me, and I love him as well. And I'm thankful that he cares, about us, that he created us, and that he has mercy toward us, even in our good, our bad, and our ugly. He has mercy. So I thank God for his mercy this morning toward all of us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for just being a wonderful and mighty, mighty God. Hallelujah. I trust in him, and I thank him this morning. So let's get started in our word today. And it is, as we always say, it's a great word. I'm going to get giddy, y'all. I'm about to get giddy for Jesus this morning. And thanking God again. So today we are coming out of Ruth chapter 3 and chapter 4. We will also be coming out of Psalm 52, which is where our word for today comes from. We will come out of Luke chapter 20 as well. And all I can say is, wow, it's a wow word. Our Samuel word is a wow word tomorrow. So let's get started today. And we are, again, are coming out of Luke chapter 20. And our word today says this. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you? Now Boaz, whose young women you were with, is he not our relative? In fact, he is renouncing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Therefore, wash yourself and anoint yourself, put on your best garment, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Then it shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in, uncover his feet, lie down, and he will tell you what you should do." And she said to her, "All that you say to me, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law instructed her. And after Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. And she came softly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. Now it happened at midnight that the man was startled and turned himself. And there a woman was lying at his feet. And he said, "Who are you?" So she answered, "I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative." Then he said, "Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. Now, it is true that I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that if he will perform the duty of a close relative for you, good, let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you. As the Lord lives, lie down until morning." So she lay at his feet until morning, and she arose before one could recognize another. Then he said, "Do not let it be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." Also he said, "Bring the shawl that is on you and hold it." And when she held it, he measured 6 ephahs of barley and laid it on her. Then she went into the city. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "Is that you, my daughter?" Then she told her all that the man had done for her. And she said, "These 6 ephahs of barley he gave me, for he said to me, 'Do not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law.'" Then she said, Sit still, my daughter, until you know how this matter will turn out. For the man will not rest until he has conducted the matter this day." Now Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there. And behold, a close relative whom Boaz had spoken came by. So Boaz says, come aside, friend. Sit down here. So he came aside and sat down. 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit down here. So they sat down. Then he said to the close relative, Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, so the piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech, and I thought to inform you, saying, buy it back in the presence of the inhabitants and the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is no one but you to redeem it, and I am next after you. And he said, I will redeem it. Then Boaz said, on the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also buy it from Ruth, the Moabite, the wife of the dead, to perpetrate the name of the dead through his inheritance. And the close relative says, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I ruin my own inheritance. You redeem my right, a redemption for yourself, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging. To confirm anything, one man took off his sandal and gave it to the other. This was a confirmation in Israel. Therefore, the close relative to Boaz, buy it for yourself. So he took off his sandal, and Boaz said to the elders of all the people, you are witnesses this day that I have brought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's from the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, I have acquired as my wife to perpetrate the name of the dead through his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brethren, from his position at the gate. You are witnesses this day. And all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman who is coming to your house like Rachel and Leah, the two who built the house of Israel, and may you prosper in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. May your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring which the Lord will give you from this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And when he went to her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the woman said to Naomi, the women said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a close relative, and make his name be famous in Israel, and make he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is better to you than 7 sons, has borne him. Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom and became a nurse to him. Also the neighbor women gave him a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now this is the genealogy of Perez. Perez begot Hezron. Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nahshon. Nahshon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz, and Boaz begot Obed. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David. Hallelujah. What a lineage. What a mighty woman of God. And just some life lessons from this lesson today for you to meditate on. And it is this, Ruth 3 and 10, you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men. She wasn't out there trying to find a husband. She was taking care of her mother-in-law. She was gleaning, she was working, she was doing whatever she could do to help her mother-in-law. That's what she did. She was an awesome woman of God. And this is what Dr. Stanley says, apparently it had never entered Boaz's head that such a beautiful and faithful young woman as Ruth could show a personal interest in him. God loves to shower his obedient people with amazing surprises. Hallelujah. I'm expecting miracles. I'm expecting surprises. I'm expecting all that God has for me. And we should have come always with an expectance in our hearts. Wherever we go, always expect something great from God. Life lessons. Ruth 3, verse 18. Set still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out. For the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter. There is a time to act, and there is a time to wait. When we have done what we should do, we must wait to see what God will do. Once you've done all you can, was that what Dominic Clerkin says? Once you've done all you can, just stand. We can just stand and wait on the Lord. We got to wait on God and know that everything we need, he will provide. I'm waiting on God for some miracles in my life. Hallelujah. I hope you're waiting on God for some miracles in yours. Ruth 4:11, may you prosper in Ephrath and be famous in Bethlehem. Was that like a prophetic word? I believe it was. The elders of Bethlehem had no way of knowing that the blessing they pronounced upon Boaz would come abundantly true, for the child to come of the new couple would be an ancestor of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Ruth, a Moabitess, is in the lineage of Christ. What a mighty word. And this is another life lesson from chapter 4, and it says, chapter 4, verse 15, your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has borne him. Naomi had lost two sons, but in a devoted and virtuous daughter-in-law, she found someone better than seven sons, and in the end, a grandson who gave her great joy in her old age. God loves to bless his faithful people. Hallelujah. I'm expecting. We got to come expecting great things from God. Ruth, loyal to the end. And it says, to the death of her Hebrew husband, Ruth could have remained in her own culture, the expected and easier route, but instead chose to travel with Naomi, her mother-in-law, back to Bethlehem, a place totally foreign to her. Why? Because Ruth felt a fierce loyalty to this bereaved woman. Loyalty ties individuals together. True loyalty is seldom easy. It takes both patience and a willingness to be inconvenienced. Genuinely loyal people adjust their schedules to meet with the needs of those they serve. Loyalty often comes at a price. Ruth, for example, made a tremendous sacrifice by leaving her family and friends behind in order to serve Naomi. Ultimately, however, godly loyalty tends to pay big dividends. God saw Ruth's deep abiding loyalty and rewarded her by giving her a loving husband, a beautiful son, and most of all, by placing her in the family line of Jesus Christ. Praise be to God who causes us to triumph in his name. What a mighty God we serve. As we continue in our word this morning, we will not be long today. Our word today is actually a quite short word. We will, however, finish Luke chapter 20 today. And it says this in Psalms 52:6-9. And this is our word for this morning. And it's coming out of Psalms chapter 52, verse 8. And it is, I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. We have to trust in the mercy of God. And this is what the word says. The righteous, starting at verse 6 of chapter 52 of Psalms. It says, the righteous also shall laugh at him, saying, here is the man who did not make God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches, that strengthened himself in his wickedness. But what we're going to do is go back to yesterday's word, and we're going to read it all together in context, starting at verse 1 of chapter 52 and of Psalms. And it says this, to the chief musician, a contemplation of David when Doeg the Edomite went and told Saul and said to him, David has gone to the house of Amalek. Why do you boast in evil, O mighty man? The goodness of God endures continually. Your tongue devises destruction like a sharp razor working deceitfully. You love evil more than good, lying rather than speaking righteousness, Selah. You love all devouring words, your deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy you forever. He shall take you away and pluck you out of your dwelling place and uproot you from the land of the living, Selah. The righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him, saying, here is the man who did not make God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise you forever, because you have done it. And in the presence of your saints, I will wait on your name, for it is good. I will wait on your name. I love that word also. I will wait on your name, for it, you know, you can't say nothing but wow. David had a way with words, did he not? And as we continue, it says this in our life lesson this morning. I will trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. God will never run out of mercy, our love, our grace. There will never come a day when he will say, you know what? I'm tired. Come back in a month. Because he never changes. We can have an unchanging hope. Our Father God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And he has love for us, something we don't always have for ourselves, but God has it for us. We are blessed beyond measure to be sons and daughters of God. Hallelujah. Praise God, from whom our blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We got to praise God at every turn, for he is magnificent. He is mighty. He is our Father God. And we are blessed beyond measure to be sons and daughters of God. And as we continue in our Proverbs word this morning, we are in Proverbs chapter. In the house of the righteous, there is much treasure, but in the revenue of the wicked is trouble. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of a fool does not do so. We got to dispense knowledge. But remember that this little membrane in our mouth called a tongue is like a two-edged sword, and it can cut like a knife. We have to make sure we speak life and not death over ourselves and over people we know and people we meet. So many times we forget to speak life. We want to find the negative instead of the positive. And the positive is we are sons and daughters of God, and we are loved immensely. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, loving us. And as we get into our New Testament words, the love that God has for us is shown in his Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And as we get into the word, Jesus is teaching. And it says this in Luke chapter 20. Now it happened on one of those days, as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, that the chief priests and the scribes together with the elders confronted him and spoke to him, saying, tell us, by what authority are you doing these things? Or who is he who gave you this authority? But he answered and said to them, I also will ask you one thing, baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? And they reasoned among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from men, all the people will stone us, for they are persuaded that John was a prophet. So they answered that they did not know where it was from. And Jesus said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. Jesus didn't play. Then he began to tell the people this parable. A certain man planted a vineyard, leased it to a vine dresser, and went into a far country for a long time. Now, at vintage time, he sent a servant to the vine dressers that they might give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the vine dressers beat him and sent him away empty-handed. Again, he sent another servant, and they beat him up. Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours. So they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, what will the owner of the vineyard do? Will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder. The chief priests and the scribes that very hour sought to lay hands on him. But they feared the people, for they knew he had spoken this parable against them. So they watched him and sent spies to pretend to be righteous, that they might seize on his words in order to deliver him to the power and the authority of the governor. Then they asked him, saying, teacher, we know that you say and teach in truth. Is it lawful for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But he perceived their craftiness and said to them, if the word of God was shut up, the naysayers. And this is what it says in a life lesson for this section, chapter 20, verse 20. And it says, they watched him and sent spies who pretended to be righteous. And let's call it straight. There are folks that come to churches all the time to see what that particular church is doing, to spy it out, to see what they confusion, and these guys were sent to create confusion. They were spies. But it's note, they said, pretended to be righteous because they knew that the followers of Christ were righteous men and women. So pretend to be righteous. Phony believers. You got to believe, and you got to believe with every part and every fiber of your being. Let us continue in Luke chapter 20, and it says, then some of the Sadducees who denied that there is a resurrection came to him and asked him, saying, teacher, Moses wrote to us that if a man's brother dies having a wife and he dies without children, his brother should take his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now, there were seven brothers, and the first took a wife and died. The third took her, and in the manner, the seventh also, and they left no children and died. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife does she become? For all seven had her as wife. Confusion and trying to catch Jesus in something. They're about to get schooled. And this is what he said. And this is for us as well to understand that if you are a widow, you remarry. Don't worry about the afterlife. Don't worry about the resurrection and who Jesus said. Jesus answered and said to them, the sons of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are counted worthy to attain that age and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, nor can they die anymore, God of Jacob, for he is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him. Then some of the scribes answered and said, teacher, you have spoken well, but after that they dare not question him anymore. But understand, what did he say? Jesus answered and said to them, the sons of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are counted. Why the devil gets so upset and mad? Because in the resurrection, we will neither die. We won't die. We won't marry. We will be equal to the angels, for we will be spirit. This shell we call a body, that's what it is, a shell. When we die, it rots. It goes back to the dust from which it came. But our choose us. We want to be equal to the angels, but we want to be counted worthy. That's the main thing, to be counted worthy, to be resurrected, and to live eternally with Jesus Christ. And then it goes on to tell us in verse 41 of chapter 20 of the book of Luke, and he said to them, how can they say that Christ is the son of David? Now David himself said in the book of Psalms, the Lord said to my Lord, set at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, David calls him Lord. How is he then his son? Oops. Then in the hearing of all the people, he said to his disciples, beware of the scribes who desire to go around in long robes, love greetings in the marketplaces, the best seats in the synagogues, and the best places at feasts, who devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. These will receive greater condemnation. God said was, you know, folks talking about they got to go in the closet. He said, what about, he says, you got to go to work. And we say that on this blog because it is the truth. We have to go to work. If your work and your assignment is prayer, then you are going to work when you pray all day. That's your assignment. If you are intercessory prayer, that is your assignment. And when you pray, you are going to work for God. You're not just in the floor. You're not just in the threshing floor praying. You are praying because that is your assignment. If your assignment is to teach, then you get up and you teach. And you do what you're supposed to do for God. We each have an assignment. If your assignment is apostle, then you go and you build those churches. You make them the best that they can be for the glory of God. Job and your assignment. For many that may work for the shepherd. But there's only one shepherd. If you ever look at those that herd sheep, there is one shepherd. Not two, not three, but one. There are many though of those that are shepherds that help. But there's only one head shepherd. And we know that our shepherd is Jesus Christ. He is our absolute shepherd. And his words are, the word tells us that no man has seen the face of God. So whose face was Moses seeing? It was Jesus. Who was there in the furnace? It was Jesus, the angel of God, the Son of God, the mighty man of God. He was that angel, that mighty, mighty angel. He was not an angel. He was actually the Son of God. He was God in person form. Always been there. And then God said, I through a woman this time. This time you won't be in the flames. You won't be in the fire. You won't be in the bush. You won't be anywhere but through a woman. I will send you to be a man, not the mighty son that you are, the part of me that I've allowed man to speak. Jesus has always been there. Through all the words, the Son of God has always been there as the face of God for man to see. But no man can see the Father. No man, not even Moses, saw the face of God, but a part of him in his Son, Jesus Christ, who he sent the next time woman. The prophet, how David himself said in the book of Psalms. When we read the word, it starts to make a lot of sense. It starts to permeate your spirit and your understanding. You're like, wow, I didn't catch that. And every time you read the Bible from front to back, it starts to make a lot of sense. It's the word of God is true, and we got to stand on it. We got to meditate on it. We got to believe it in our hearts, in our minds, and in our spirit. For God loves us. He has mercy on us. He wants the best for us. We are worthy. We want to be counted worthy with Jesus. And allow God to work in your life. Watch him work in your life. For he loves you more than anything. And we have to love him back just as much. Thank you so much, family. That is all I have for today. Tomorrow we will strictly be in the book of 1 Samuel. So tomorrow join me in 1 Samuel chapter 1, and we're going to talk about another awesome woman of God, and her name is Hannah. You know, when you think about Hannah, you think about faith. Anyone that would like to speak, the number to dial is 213-943-3597 is our call-in number if you would like to speak. If not, I have a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, and our word for this morning is this. Tighter than you're holding on to God. Have a triumphant Thursday, everybody. Love you much. Thank you for listening in. Have a blessed day. And know that God is in charge of everything. And as our word this morning told us, day, and as we stay on moving forward, family, it's time to go to work. Let's go to work for God. Do your assignment. Don't worry about what Sister Susie's doing. Do what you're called to do. Everyone should do their assignment and not worry about what else somebody else. Pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we, children of God, will rejoice be glad in it. Thank you so much for listening again. Have a blessed day. It is a wrap.